Could you talk a little bit more about what exactly was seen in PACIFIC, both in terms of efficacy, also in terms of toxicity? This man actually got the entire year durvalumab and now has been off therapy for 2 years, doing great, it sounds like. What was actually seen in the study?
Well, we know the endpoints hit. We know response rate, PFS, OS hit. The concern I think you hit on pretty quickly is toxicity. And really, we're getting into pneumonitis. What's interesting for me is, you know, all of us have treated stage three cancer for a long time, and we've all, you know, for a long time have done concurrent chemo RT. It just seems like now we're making a lot more of pneumonitis because it seems to be something we're paying a lot more attention to. It used to be we treat somebody and then we follow them and we kind of let them taper off, you know, the therapy they were on and deal with those lingering side effects. But now you're trying to get them on a durva. And so you're, I don't know if it's because I'm assessing them more frequently or doing more scans because I'm nervous about pneumonitis. So pneumonitis was seen on the study, a little bit higher rate of pneumonitis than in the control group. But you have time. You can get pneumonitis from chemo RT, let that resolve, and then give patients durvalumab, even as late as 3 months later. I don't think there's anything magic about the timeline. I'm a little nervous about finishing chemo RT on a Monday and starting durvalumab on a Friday. I don't think that makes sense, although the study allowed you to do that. I think you have to get people through this pneumonitis. Just yesterday, I was in clinic. I have a gentleman that's very eager to get started with durvalumab, but we've had 3.5 weeks of pneumonitis issues, of antibiotics, steroids. He even ended up in the hospital a couple of weeks ago. And he asked me just yesterday, David, can we start durvalumab? And I said, no way. You're a month at least before I'm going to do that. He says, well, I'm off steroids in 3 days. Well, you've got to show me you can be off steroids and do well. In fact, I want to do scans again to see where we are. Because you can have somebody re-expose them to durva and see pneumonitis again, and then it's one step forward and 10 back. You know, you have to take a long time off. Even the gentleman I mentioned that's now being cared for by Dr. Hanna in Indiana, we had a period of pneumonitis where we had to come off and take a break, and I didn't think we'd come back on. But, you know, obviously he did well. I just think it's a serious toxicity. You can have all the other things that happen, but I think PACIFIC, you know, the big worry is pneumonitis. And it's going to be the worry for all of our trials in small cell, extensive and limited stage setting, anything where radiation is going to be used, that's going to be a concern for us with patients with lung cancer.
I think actually when a lot of people saw the PACIFIC data, they were kind of relieved.
You know, yeah.
It sort of sounds like a bad idea to blast somebody with chemo radiation and then give them a checkpoint inhibitor. But I mean, yeah, it's there, but you know, you could imagine it could have been a lot worse. It doesn't seem to be that common.
Remember this, Neil, you know, Julie Bramer, she and her colleagues at Hopkins, I mean, remember the early experience, you know, you had a death or a couple of deaths at Hopkins with pneumonitis, with nivolumab. And I have pneumonitis in patients on other agents for stage four disease, and it can be a struggle. You know, that can go on for a year or two where you're on and off and frequent antibiotics, sometimes hospitalization. Pneumonitis is a big deal for lung cancer patients. You know, it's a big deal if you had breast cancer or you had colorectal cancer, but it's especially a big deal for lung cancer where you're already often dealing with emphysema, obstructive airway disease, surgery, maybe radiation for some issues, like we mentioned, and then you get pneumonitis. I mean, it can be a bear for a patient.
Yeah, really, it's interesting how different the stories are that we hear in lung cancer compared to melanoma and all other kinds of places in terms of, you know, for obvious.
You know, it's funny, this came up in a conversation recently where you hear people say things like, well, melanoma, patients with melanoma can tolerate toxicity different than patients with lung cancer, and therefore the dosing should be different for these regimens. I mean, I guess there's some truth to that for the reasons I just outlined. It is hard to imagine, though, if you had a patient with each cancer, but the same histories, like no surgery, no COPD, you know, there's nothing inherent about the biology of cancer, I would think, that would mean that your toxicity in an organ system should be different. It's probably what baggage you have coming into it.
Absolutely. Also, there's a diagnostic issue that happens in lung cancer. What actually happened with this man? What kind of condition was he in when you started the durvalumab, and then what happened?
We had a scare in the beginning where he got really sick early on and actually found out from the company at that time that there was a little bit of an alarm with some other cases around the world. And remember, the study was randomized, so it was unblinded to folks about, you know, who was getting the toxicity. Just it was known that there was some pneumonitis occurring. And you know, in these phase 3 studies, really any study, but a phase three study, if you have a lot of early events, toxicity or deaths or coming off study, it can kill a trial. You know, and I was seeing this with my own patient, you know, is he an example of what's happening around the world? But he weathered that, got on to Durva, had a little bit of a flare on and off, you know, early in his course. And then we settled into a rhythm and, you know, finished a year of treatment. And then it's been close to going on 2 years off Durva and doing well. I mean, you know, is he cured? I would say statistically, you know, the odds are not in his favor of being cured, but he's doing quite well and will continue to be watched closely and knows that if he recurs, you know, we're going to have other things for him. I get asked that too, like, what do you do if you recur after Durva? I think you look at that like any recurrence after adjuvant treatment, whether it's for small cell or for, like, for limited stage disease or whether it's for stage two cancer. If you get your primary therapy for early stage disease and you recur a long time later, you probably are a candidate for that same therapy again. And if you're somebody who got Durva and 2 months later you recur, I'm not too eager to give that patient immunotherapy again. I'm not sure that they're going to benefit. So that's the way I look at it. If this gentleman recurs, I think he's a candidate for immunotherapy again. Had he recurred right after we finished Durva, I would say no. I think it's a, you need to move on and look at other strategies.